Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read a little chunk of chapter 19, okay? So 1 Kings chapter 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And he was afraid and rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, "Arise, eat." Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Oreb, the mountain of God. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thy altars, and killed thy prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and I seek my life to take it away." So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. And it came about when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thy altars, and killed thy prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." The Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you'll anoint as prophet in your place." Amen. So we have a little picture of a very supernatural fast. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. And Elijah, you know the story, right? This is right after Carmel. And Elijah has this incredible great victory, you know. But for some reason, you know, Elijah, you know, I mean, say it really plainly, was a very unstable person. You know, do you remember the scripture in James, you know, when it talks about the effective prayers of a righteous man will accomplish much, right? And it says, Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. And, you know, when you read that, and if you don't understand Elijah's life, you can be like, no, he's not like us. You know, he's actually very different than we are, you know, because he's Elijah, you know, and this guy was did amazing things. But then as you go through the Old Testament and you read about Elijah's life, you realize, wow, you know what? This guy is just like us. You know, he has a nature almost exactly like us. You know, you see in this picture here in chapter 19 that here he goes, right? He single-handedly kills the prophets of Baal and the Asherah. And then at the same time, he calls fire down from heaven. I mean, this is pretty significant stuff, right? I'm sure if we did any of these kind of significant things that we'd be on cloud nine. I mean, we think nothing can destroy us. And then, on top of that, he outruns a chariot back to the city. You know, and so, you know, I don't care how fast Usain Bolt is, right? He had nothing on Elijah. And then he comes back to this place, and then he hears that this woman, you know, no offense against women, right? But especially in the context of the scriptures, this woman comes and threatens Elijah, and Elijah gets scared, and he gets worried, and then he gets depressed, and then he gets suicidal. Right? Does that sound like any of you guys? I know a ton of people that sounds like. You know, he starts, look at this process. He gets worried, and then he gets scared, and then he gets depressed, and then he gets suicidal. You know, and I mean, you know, Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. And he had all these kind of incredibly emotional problems, right? And what does God do to him? He sets him on a fast. And then, I mean, isn't that really interesting? Right? He, you know, and you think, because, see, this really goes against our grain of thinking, right? we think that, man, if I'm gonna fast, I'm like spiritually ready. You know, like I'm like, you know, God called me to this thing, and I'm like, you know, bordering superstar Christian, you know, kind of thing, right? Because we only have this idea that only like very mature, you know, or very accomplished or very, you know, meaningful Christians actually fast. That's not the case at all. You know, because what happens sometimes is that God sets us on a path, you know, and in order to, you know, basically get to the other side of that path, sometimes God leads us to fast. You know, there may be some of us here in this season that you have no idea why you're doing it. You know, in fact, you know, some of it could be, you know, quite negative, right? You know, either you want something from God, you know, or you want to get over some issues, you know, maybe like Elijah. You know, and if you look here, the angel came to Elijah, because Elijah actually was committing suicide, you know. He was laying down to die, basically. And the angel had to say, get up, eat something, you know. Because if he didn't eat, he would die. You know, and that's what he wanted to do. He says, take my life, you know, I'm over. You know, and so he, you know, he was, I mean, literally, he got to that state. His depression was so severe, you know, that he eventually just gave up and he just wanted to die. And the angel literally saved his life. You know, and not only on top of that, he goes in and he eats this cake, you know, and you know, we talked about a few weeks ago. And then he goes in the strength of that, 40 days, 40 nights, right? He enters into a solemn season of fasting. He doesn't know why he's doing it. You know, but it's happening to him. God's calling him to this thing, you know, and instantly he probably doesn't even, you know why, you know, in a way. But see, what happens, though, through this fast, it leads him into his next phase of his life. You know, that he's still Elijah the prophet, but now he's going to be Elijah the father, right? And the Lord calls him to anoint Hazael, right? And then Jehu, you know, and then Elisha, you know, his basically these guys are his sons in a way. You know, and a lot of times God does that. You know, he takes normal individuals like us, you know, all kinds of issues, all kinds of insecurities, you know, all kinds of emotional needs and, you know, and whatnot. You know, and he sets us in a season of fasting, and we may not even know why we're doing it. You know, I remember years ago, my mom was in Korea, you know, and she was, you know, she was on her way back to Uzbekistan, and she, you know, used to meet with this lady, and she was, I don't know exactly, but she was a fairly well-known prophetic person in Korea, and somehow my mom got to know this lady, and they became quite close. And all of a sudden, this lady turned to my mom, and she didn't know, you know, that I was a pastor or any of these things, and she just began to prophesy over me, you know. And one of the things this is the season where I was really just fasting a lot, you know, and I didn't really know why I was doing it. I just felt I just had to obey, so I was just fasting all the time, you know. And this lady turned to my mom and said, "Oh, your son, you know, da da da," you know, said some very nice things, you know, and then basically started talking about, says, "Your son really fasts a lot, you know," and it's kind of like he doesn't know why he's doing it. Right, you know, and it's kind of like the same thing that I was feeling, you know, but one thing she did say is that God was preparing him for something, you know, and that basically there wasn't enough, like, prayer covering over his life, you know, at that time. And so, you know, basically that the Lord was leading him to really raise up that covering. It's basically like if no one's going to pray for him, he's going to pray for himself, you know, kind of thing. You know, and afterwards, you know, when my mom, you know, later told me, you know, it really makes sense. Like, sometimes I don't know why, you know, like, you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you know. I mean, it'd be great if, you know, we're entering, you know, this January 3 comes along and you know exactly why you're fasting. I mean, wouldn't that be great? You know, like you pinpointed to the exact reason why, you know, and you know exactly what God's going to do through that. I mean, wouldn't it be great? But a lot of times that's not the way our lives work. A lot of times, we just simply obey. You know, sometimes, we get into Elijah's case, where God just makes him obey, because he just wants to kill himself. You know, I mean, he wants to fast, but not for spiritual reasons, he just wants to die. Right, you know, and so he refuses to eat, and then he gets to this stage, and after the 40 days, right, God does something. He actually takes Elijah to the next level. You know, and he's no longer the prophet, he's now the father, Right, and you know, and Elisha, you guys, I mean, you guys know the story, right? Elisha does so much more than Elijah does. You know, Elisha actually literally does twice as many miracles as his father Elijah, right? And because remember why? Remember what they prayed for? Do you remember? They prayed for double portion, right? And so if you remember the one paralleling miracle, Elijah, remember there's a dead boy. Elijah lays down on the boy three times, right? Elisha lays on the boy, I think, one and a half times. You know, literally double anointing in his life, you know, and raises his kid up. It's amazing. And then the scriptures, not only in terms of, you know, in the next level in terms of what he does for Elisha, but Elijah becomes the central father figure in the Bible. Especially when it relates into the New Testament, right? He does. He becomes a central father figure. He says in Malachi chapter 4, he says, you know, he says, I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day. And he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a curse. He ends the Bible that way, right? Elijah becomes the prototypical father in the scriptures. You know, that a lot of times that we look up to as that figure in many ways. I mean, obviously, there's Father Abraham, you know, but it's not a Abraham in terms of his fatherhood is not as prevalent in the New Testament as Elijah is in his fatherhood, you know. And we see a model there. How did this happen? How did a guy go from being scared, right? You know, being worried, scared, depressed, suicidal. You know, and next thing you know, he becomes the prototypical father in the scriptures, right? I mean, that's a pretty astounding change, wouldn't you think? You know, he literally just wanted to die. And God, I mean, changes him in his character. And even, you know, to get you an idea, even after the fast, he was still depressed, self-righteous. You know, God, there's no one but me here, you know, and this kind of stuff. He's still all those things. But in the course of this, right, in the course of the fast in this season of 40 days, God did something so deep in him that God gives him his next charge, his next command, you know, and then he runs with it. And he becomes the father that you know, most of us really, you know, long for in many ways, right? He took care of Elisha. Elisha became a double portion son. Pretty amazing stuff. You know, all to say, we can take. There's a few takeaways we take from this passage today. One is that many of you may be entering into this season. You may not even know why. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes you may be called to fast, or you may be called to give, or you know, called to sacrifice, or called to go away, or you know, and you don't necessarily know why, but you just do it out of obedience. There's another word for that in the scriptures. It's called faith, you know, and so you just kind of step out, and even, you know, even if the condition that you came into, the obedience, you know, wasn't so grand, you know, you weren't as healthy as you'd want to be, but yet in the course of the obedience, in the course of the season of fasting, God does something in our lives. We may not understand it. You know, it's because it's not necessarily an outward thing. It's an inward transformation that takes place in our lives. You know, and we change. You know, obviously we've been fasting every year and whatnot. And I feel like every year, you know, I mean, we go through the things. And you know, I feel like a lot of times for me, I don't feel like I've changed so much, you know, through the time. But then after a course of a few months or whatnot, you really start feeling. I don't know if you ever heard this before. You know, if you start praying and stuff. Let's say you like didn't pray that much before, and now you really, you know, are really seeking the Lord, praying. And what happens a lot of times is a lot of people actually quit. You know, let's say you go through a little season. You know, they quit after a time because they feel like they're not really receiving anything, you know, from their prayer time, right? You know, but you know what? It takes about 3 months for you to actually start feeling, you know, or start recognizing the effectiveness of your prayers. Right, and so I mean, if when you really start praying, you know, a lot of us we're really into the short term game, but it takes a little while, you know. And in my personal estimation, it takes about 3 months that you start really feeling the effects of your prayers, you know, as you continue on. But most people stop, you know what I mean? You know, they pray for a few months and okay, I'm not feeling anything different, you know. And you're maybe like Elijah, you know, you still just want to die and whatnot. But it usually takes a little bit of time. But trust me, you keep going at it, you know, 3 months, you know, and then all of a sudden you start feeling, man, I am changing. I'm actually a bit happier. You know what? I'm not worrying as much as I used to before. You know, and something begins to be stirred up in us. And so we may not understand the fullness, you know, of why we're entering this season of fasting, you know, but I don't think that's really as important, really, as what God wants to do through you. You know, and you may not have the full picture, but God has the picture. And he just wants you to obey. I mean, that's really the point, right? He just wants us to obey and to trust him. You know, and you'll feel the fruit of it, right? You'll feel the fruit no matter what condition you started off in. Right? You know, like when we go to, you know, mission trips at church, I mean, as a church, yeah, we'd like everyone to be on the same page and everyone to be mature, you know, and do GIC and, you know what I mean, and do all these things. And you think they're prayed up and paid up and all this kind of stuff. But a lot of times God doesn't work that way, right? I mean, he usually takes losers sometimes, but he sets them out on a journey and God does something in their lives. You know, we'd like for the precursor of the journey to be very grand. A lot of times it doesn't work that way. You know, sometimes it's just really messy. But in the midst of the journey, God does something. Right? And so don't, you know, if you have reservations about fasting and whatnot, don't think you have to be perfect. Don't think that you have to be ready, in fact. You just have to obey. You know, I mean, real simple, right? You know, God took this guy after a great victory, you know, depressed, scared, suicidal, worrywart, you know, scared guy, and he made him a father that we were to emulate in the New Testament, right? I mean, pretty amazing, I think. What event happened? It was the fast. It was the fast, right? So let's close our eyes today. Maybe today you're just like Elijah. Maybe you're a bit scared. I don't know what about, but you're a bit scared. Maybe you're a bit worried about something. Maybe you're a little depressed. Maybe you're even suicidal. And you just want to lie down, forget everything, and die. God's not going to give up on you, even if you have given up on yourself. And especially when we feel like we don't even have the strength to fast or to seek his face or whatnot, the Lord's going to give you the strength. Right, the Bible said, in the strength of that food, he went 40 days and 40 nights. See, I know I put a lot of emphasis on the food. It had nothing to do with the food. The strength came from the Lord. It was just a piece of bread. But the Lord sustained Elijah. And then he promoted him and sent him off to father nations. Let God transform you through this season of fasting. As Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's meditate on that. Let's lay down our worries, our depressed moods, the things that we're scared of, the times that we just want to die and give up, and allow Jesus to come and to change us, to give us strength to fight again, to take us to the next level. My help comes from.
So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. Oh, how I need you, Lord. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. Oh, how I need you, Lord. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. My help comes from you. My help comes from you, maker of heaven. Creator of the earth. My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for ourselves and our community, and you know, especially if you know people that are scared, worried, depressed, suicidal, you know, let's pray that God would just begin to move and do something in their lives. If you're experiencing any of these things, let's pray for an encounter with God in your life. And let's pray that the Spirit of Jesus would come and do something so significant. Let's pray as a community that we would just walk in obedience. We may not know why we're doing what we're doing in this season, but let's just pray for just the heart to obey God and to see Him release double portion in our lives. Huh? Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our community in that way. Thank you. Let's pray for just a season of fasting that we're going to be entering into as a church. Now let's just pray that all God's people, right, all Solomon's Porchers would really come together and unify and really seek God's face together. You know, there are a few purposes, you know, especially this year while we're fasting. One, obviously, is just our space issue, you know, and, you know, which relates, it's not just about space, about moving, but just relates to our vision. And so let's pray that people during this time of fasting, as that we deny ourselves, that God would really speak to us as a body, you know, about our move and the next steps in regard to that, and, you know, about our pledges and all these things, that we'll really be united, you know, in purpose and in focus during this season. So let's just lift that up. Let's pray for our house church leaders, you know, and let's ask God to just really give them just a time of rest right now, and a time to recharge and refuel, that as we hit the next season in a few weeks, that they would be just ready to go, ready to love and ready to care, and, you know, ready to teach and to give and to serve and to love and be loved upon. Let's just lift up all the house church leaders. Lift up your own house church leader, you know, and let's ask God to really recharge us during this season of rest, you know, that you know, that God would really be speaking to us about this next season and what He wants to do in the life of the church, you know, and especially their own house church. And let's just lift up all the leaders and ask God to just really bless them and give them a real time of rest and real grace in this time. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. And let's ask God to continue to stir and move in this great country, that the Spirit of God will just continue to hover. You know, let's pray, I know we don't pray too politically, but let's pray that God would really do something in relation to the judiciary, right? That it would raise up an independent judiciary that would take care of all the unfairness that's really resounding in the country. Let's pray for the house churches. You know, let's pray for the Chung family. Let's ask God to continue to bless them and their work and in their ministry. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents in Qingdao, and ask the Lord to continue to bless their ministry, and as they try to unify churches, and as is teaching them a new way to pray, that the Holy Spirit would really capture their hearts. Let's pray for the kids in Chichihar, that the Lord would just continue to raise them up, and the Spirit of God would hover over each one. Let's pray for our new church plant in Beijing starting soon. Let's pray that God would just open all the doors that we need, that the Lord would just take care of all the issues and all the logistics of the new operation. And God would just really be so pleased with the way that we're going about it, and thus come together with so much favor as well. Let's lift up Pastor Sam Kim and Annie and the kids, and lift up Chris and Amy and Mary as they pioneer this work, and for just a favor of the Lord to come upon them, anointing. Let's just lift up China. And lastly, let's just continue to pray for our newly new moms. You know, some of them second, third time. You know, let's continue to pray for Jian, right? This is Eunsang's wife, and I know she's quite tired. Their first baby. Let's pray for God's covering over them. I pray for Yuli, as she just came home from the hospital as well, and for their new baby, and pray for real strength during this time. Sujin, David and Sujin also had a child last Saturday. Let's pray for, you know, a lot of strength and to really care for, and you know, all the moms all lacking sleep. Pray for Bernice as well, and with her twins, and pray that she would be able to have strength to take care of them, and pray for Lisa and all the new moms. Just lift them up to the Lord and ask God to just give them supernatural energy. You know, if anyone needs these pieces of bread like Elijah did, it's our moms, or these moms. Let's pray. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would take just a ragtag group of people, God, people that are worried, scared, depressed, suicidal, Lord, and as you would lead us, God, into adventures, God, as you would lead us in obedience, Lord, or lead us in the challenge, God, and we respond in obedience. Lord, that you would do something in our lives, God, that our fruit, Lord, would last, like Elijah's fruit, Father. No matter where our starting point, God, Lord, let our end point come in obedience, Lord. God, and then you just do the rest, God. Do what you do best. And so, Lord, we just pray for this corporate season of fasting, God, that you're leading us to. We pray, God, that your kingdom would come, your will be done, Lord, be established. We may not understand why we're doing it or what's going on behind the scenes, but you know, God, and we're willing to trust you, God. We're willing to put our faith in you, not in our wisdom, God, not in our circumstances, not in our knowledge, but in you, and say, okay, God, I'm just going to obey. I'm going to trust that you're going to do something, God, because you're always faithful to your word. And so we thank you, God. We thank you for the season that you lead us in. Watch over us, God, especially watch over the moms and the babies and all the moms, God, that are pregnant as well, that you would draw them to you, Father God. Give them strength in this hour. We thank you, Lord. We pray for all of our members, God, that are sick. In the name of Jesus, Lord, release healing word, God. Let there be transformation in their bodies right now, even as we're praying, Father. We thank you, God. Watch us. Watch over us, God, this week as we seek to give you our hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day. Please keep warm, and let's just continue to pray and seek the Lord.